Welcome to Shooting the Breeze, brought to you by the team at Franktown Firearms, a family-owned, family-friendly shooting range in Franktown, Colorado. Franktown Firearms offers practical, defensive training, as well as an impressive selection of firearms at the lowest tax rate, so you can develop confidence with your firearm. The team at Franktown Firearms believes the only difference between a beginner and an expert is practice, so they equip you to keep yourself and your family safe in a welcoming atmosphere. And now, here are your hosts of Shooting the Breeze.
Happy Monday, everybody. My name is Karen Murray. I am the lead instructor over at Franktown Firearms. Of course, as you know, we're your one-stop shop for everything gun-related. Go and get them while you can, people. Go get them and get lots of them. Get lots of ammo, lots of guns. Fill the store. Make Dan's life miserable just for a little bit so you can go and get your shopping done before all these gun laws go into place. It's getting worse and worse all the time, and as the guest on Monson's show just a little bit ago has stated, these people pass stuff when we're all sleeping. And I had a class on Saturday, and it was great class. We had 14 people in there, very enthusiastic to learn all about, you know, guns and get their concealed carry permits and all that. And many of them did not know about any of the laws that were coming down the pike. So it is really important, vitally important, for you guys to visit the Colorado General Assembly's website and start contacting your senators, contacting your House members, and get this stuff in your minds and you know, research it, read the bills, see what they're doing behind closed doors. And as that man mentioned, he was talking about the energy bill, the SB 181, I believe it was. They passed it, and he said they passed it in the middle of the night, as they did. But what he didn't mention was that they passed it in the middle of the night during that weird, I don't even remember what you call it, like a snow tornado or something. I can't remember the word they used for it. Luke, maybe you can help me out with that. But it was really bad weather, and, you know, everybody couldn't pass on the roads and whatever. And so they were stuck in the legislature passing this egregious, you know, and they were admonishing the energy that's keeping that Capitol building warm, and they're passing bills to restrict it. So it's hypocritical, and it's egregious, and I can't say enough terrible things about what they're doing in the Colorado legislature right now. So get yourself involved and go read about it. My class was shocked to know what was going to be illegal if that stupid assault weapons ban passes. So get down to Franktown Firearms. You can talk to them about it. All those guys are very well-versed in these new laws that are coming up, obviously, because it affects them directly. You can contact them by phone at 720-770-7777. I would appreciate if you would come and take a class, get your concealed carry permit while you can. They're going to soon be making illegal concealed carry pretty much everywhere. So you're going to be able to conceal carry in your house, and that's going to be about it. So sign up for a class, get yourself educated. You can find the classes on our calendar at franktownfirearms.com. Just go to the top and click on the calendar, and then find the class that suits you and sign up. The Pistol 1 class is sufficient for a concealed carry permit. And then Pistol 2 is the class that I also teach that will teach you proper draw from holster and all that stuff. I also offer private training as well. You can contact me directly for private training at Karen.Murray@FranktownFirearms.com. That's Karen.Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, at FranktownFirearms.com. So I'm going to have a special guest on the air today with me. We're going to see, he's going to be on about 10 or 2:15 roughly, and that is Richard Holthorff. He's been on with us before. He's the minority whip representing the Republicans in the Colorado State House. He's going to be back with us again at 2:15. Franktown Firearms has given Richard their full endorsement If you have driven by the shop in the last month or so, you can see a Richard Holtorf for Congress sign proudly displayed in the front of the shop near the street, Highway 86. We will not be taking calls during that time. Richard is going to give you some information on what's happening in the Colorado House and the battles that he's fighting. And he's fighting, let me tell you. Before Richard comes on with us, however, I want to play a short piece for you. Luke has been kind enough to cue this up for us. I saw this morning, and it is an all-encompassing list of the ways in which these corrupt globalist politicians and NGOs are feverishly working to unravel the fabric of our nation. And you have to hear this because it's pretty complete, except for one thing. So check this out.
A warning to America. 25 ways the U.S. is being destroyed in under 2 minutes. 1, open borders and illegal immigration. 2, rampant crime and unsafe cities. 3, mass addiction and fentanyl. 4, election insecurity and interference. 5, the educational indoctrination of children. 6, the asymmetrical weaponization of justice. 7, the destruction of private property rights. 8, inflation and debt. 9, the global depopulation agenda. 10, record low fertility and plummeting birth rates. 11, unaccountable federal bureaucracies. 12, toxic food supply. 13, vaccine and pandemic disinformation. 14, the trans contagion and sterilization of children. 15, overprescription of pharmaceuticals. 16, destruction of the nuclear family and parental rights. 17, DEI and the new racism. 18, moral and societal decay. 19, the financing of endless foreign wars. 20, the sprawling surveillance state. 21, the centralization and consolidation of government power. 22, the destruction of trust in institutions. 23, the censorship industrial complex. 24, state media propaganda. 25, the smearing of those who challenge it.
So that's pretty complete, I would say. And, you know, I've touched on many of these topics across the time span that I've been doing the show. And you've heard me talk about the trans stuff and the borders and the crime and the fentanyl and elections and indoctrination and all that stuff. You've heard me talk about it. And now, of course, we can add to that's why I said that it's almost complete, because we didn't talk about the gun grabbers. And I think that is one of the most important ones, because the Second Amendment protects the First, correct? That's kind of how we all view it. And this common sense, you know, I'm putting this in heavy air quotes, the common sense gun legislation is Colorado is seeing its lion's share of that right now. So now we have the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, basically, I don't know if he's being steamrolled, if he's being blackmailed. I don't know what's going on with him. I've kind of thought he was slimy from the very beginning, but now he's siding with the Democrats and passed this 90-some billion-dollar boost in spending package or whatever, $61 billion of which is going to Ukraine. And essentially, he just handed his gavel to Hakeem Jeffries, and here you go, and then claiming that everyone's happy about it. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not happy about it. Nor do I think that anyone listening to this right now is happy about it. It is truly unbelievable what is happening in this country. It sickens me that we've allowed this to happen and allowed what America has become. Land of the free, that's laughable right now. And home of the brave, yeah, our veterans may be brave, our active duty military, law enforcement, you know, so if they're not a jackboot, I'm just following orders and, you know, I'm going to take you to jail for not wearing a mask. Anybody who doesn't have that mindset, I will consider the brave. But the soy boy, you know, overload on atrazine kind of men that are in this country right now that have no backbone, and I'm sick. I'm sick. Our forefathers would have been whipping out the pitchforks and, you know, throwing tea in the harbor long before this. This is outrageous. The beast that is our own federal government that's supposed to protect us, that's their one job, is to protect Americans in conjunction with the countless NGOs around the world are getting stronger and more powerful every single year. And I don't even know what to say anymore. It's one of those things where, you know, when you're educating kids to believe that if they're white, they're bad people. And if they're trans, they're good people. And if your parent or parents don't buy into your delusion that you're trans, then they're bad parents and we'll help you, you know, we'll help you transition. And just the destruction of the nuclear family and the parental rights and parents getting kicked out of school board meetings and the DEI and all these diversity hires, which has resulted, in my opinion, has resulted in a lot of problems with Boeing. And you could go, the list could probably be a mile long, although I don't have that list in front of me. But you guys know that the diversity, equity, and inclusion thing is poison. It's absolute poison. And now we've got this Title IX thing being gutted, and this Title IX that's been in place since, what, the 50s or something, the 60s, for where women have their own sports and women have their own locker rooms and women have all these rights. Well, this new Title IX just rolls out the red carpet and the welcome mat for the trans community. There was a school, I think it was in Virginia, it was either in Virginia or West Virginia, where some 13-year-old girls that were track and field girls, you know, competing in their own sport, walked off the field in protest because there was a biological male throwing shot put, and this biological male actually threw the shot put 3 extra feet, not inches, but feet, compared to the girls. And if you talk to any LG, we'll just call it LG community, the lesbians and gays, they are completely against this. And so why is it that these colleges and high schools and the school boards and everything are just welcoming this whole entire thing? Where is the Me Too movement right now? Where are they? They should be up in arms, throwing fits everywhere. And now we have all these protests going on in universities and the stuff going on right now at Columbia, the Palestinians and, you know, chanting from the river to the sea, all this stuff. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And right now we have, back by popular demand, we have Richard Holtorf on the line. Different guest. Sorry about that, Luke. What do you got for me? Who's on the line and what do you got for me? Hello, caller?
Yeah, are you talking to me?
I am talking to you.
You talking to me? Taxi driver.
I'm talking to you. Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you, lady. Hey, you know what I mean. I agree with about 99.98% of everything you say.
Well, that's good. That's a good ratio.
Yeah, it's pretty high, including the cloud seeding idiots.
Yeah.
But my point is this. I listen to you as much as I can. It's at a weird time of day. I wish you were on more than some other shows. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But my point is that I hear a lot of lip service to this and all kinds of radio. But what are we doing about it? I don't care if it's you or Hannity or whoever, but how do we stop it? I mean, short of armed revolution, I mean, nothing's going to happen. It's just going to go down the toilet. It's like we're stuck in the bowl and we can't get out. And it's very frustrating to me because this is not the country I grew up in. I grew up I moved to Colorado in 1960 when I was 10 years old. And we could go anywhere and everywhere on our bicycles, play all night. We had Governor Love. He was great. His son flew jets in Vietnam. I saw this beautiful state get turned over. First it was Don't Texican Colorado. And then it was Don't Californicate Colorado. Now we got Democrats that are just wrecking this state right and left. I don't care if it's the arts, sports, like, I agree with you. But, you know, Joe Biden says, well, go ahead and grab your 12-gauge shotgun. I got a jet.
Yeah.
So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to really do? Are we supposed to hunker down and go underground like they did in the time machine? I don't know. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, I know. And that's the funny thing is that we don't have an answer for it. And here's the deal. I think that a lot of people were coming into the realization right around the election when the election was stolen, clearly.
Yep.
And January 6th happened, and that was the warning shot from the federal government. Don't do anything. You can't do anything. You will not do anything, or this is what's going to happen to you. And the J6 prisoners of war is what I call them right now. They're the ones that are sitting in the gulag and have no power to do anything, no trial, no charges, no nothing. They're just sitting there, and that's what can happen. That's what can and will happen if anybody stands up, and that's why militia is a bad word, even though the Second Amendment clearly states that a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. And militia, they think that's military. It's not military. It is
It is
force on force. It's force against force. It's us having what they have. It's a tyrannical government kind of thing. And that's the whole thing. People just are scared to death.
And here's the proof in the pudding is what they're doing to Trump. Because he had the cojones to stand up and say to these boneheads, these dimwits, no, you're not going to do this. This is America. We're going to bring stuff back to America. I'm going to take care of my people. Now, did he overtweet? Sure he did. But I don't care. I love the guy because he fought the way I did. He thinks the way I do. He cares about my fellow citizens. These clowns, they don't give a crap. You think Pontius Polis cares about us?
No.
And it
not
I don't care
one little
replace
bit.
Pontius Polis with Jason Crow, it's the same disease, just a different box. That's all it is.
Agreed.
And they're interchangeable.
Agreed.
And then you got Hillary and her big mouth shooting it off the other day about Trump should, what, he's a dictator? Trump a dictator?
Yeah.
What did he ever shut down? Nothing.
It's projection. It's projection at its finest. That's what it is. They're the dictators, and they're just projecting onto the Republicans.
Yeah, and COVID was the beginning of the insanity because they knew after they suckered us all into standing in line at King Soopers with only 30 people in a store at a whack in a 500,000-square-foot store. Now, I'm exaggerating there, but they knew that they knew, and it's a spiritual battle, and they knew that they had us by the short hairs, and they didn't care. And they said, now we got these fools, and we're going to lead them around by the nose.
Yep,
and that's
absolutely.
What they're doing.
Yep, I appreciate your call very much. You were spot on. I've got Richard on the line now, and I'm going to chat with him for a second, and we're going to talk about what's going on in the Colorado State House. Hi, Richard. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for inviting me on.
Absolutely. So if you don't know who Richard Holtorf is, you should. He is running to represent Colorado in the United States House of Representatives. Here he is fighting the good fight every day for the people of Colorado, which is a constant uphill battle, as you all know, and he is fired up. Richard is a third-generation working rancher and farmer. He's a veteran of the United States Army, serving 29 years, flying helicopters all over the world. And Richard, I want to thank you for coming on. And I want to say real quick, just to open this up, on your website you state that you don't let political nonsense in Washington distract you from the mission of protecting America from those who would destroy it. And I want to say, if I may, suggest to change that to protecting America from those who are actively destroying it. How do we stop this madness, Richard?
Well, the first thing you do is not comply with unconstitutional laws and mandates that are clear violations of the Constitution. And in every case, we build alliances to challenge, and right now it seems like legal challenges seem to be the most effective remedy. For now, with the cases going to the U.S. Supreme Court, many things getting decided judicially. I have made claims, and there's a myriad of gun bills that are coming through the State House right now. I have made claims on the floor and in committee and telling my colleagues, for those of you that want to violate the United States Constitution and those amendments, that we are not going to comply, we're not going to follow, and we're going to ask our law enforcement personnel and our county sheriffs, under certain posse comitatus provisions, to be constitutional sheriffs and constitutional law enforcement officers and not charge anybody with any laws that are violations of the Constitution. And sheriffs right. in the counties, in the 64 counties, have unique provisions where they can do this. So that's the start. But we have to push back at every level and every way. And we just have to say, no, we're not going to let our constitutional rights be infringed. And we're going to stand up by any means possible and push back against these infringements.
So right before you came on, Richard, I was talking to a caller and I was saying that I believe personally that and I think many would agree with me that the 2020 election was flagrantly stolen. And I believe that the January 6th protests were just the tip of the iceberg in the federal government flexing their muscle a little bit and showing the American people what we will do to you through geofencing or however it is that we do it. This is what we're going to do to you if you try anything. If you try to stand up, if you try to protest, if you try to come in and do anything, this is what's going to happen to you. And I think the American people are scared to death of that. They've got families, they've got jobs, they've got mortgages to pay. And they have got the fear of God put in them that they're going to go to jail if they even step foot on the Capitol grounds or even, you know, I'm sure things like that can happen all over in different capitals. So what is the remedy for that? I mean, I understand local action is where it starts. It has to. It's not, you know, you don't get 10,000 people and go to the capital of the United States. That's just dumb. But there's so much wrong right now. Is there any hope? Do we have any hope whatsoever in righting what's wrong and turning this ship around? Or do you think it's too late?
No, ma'am. You know, this country has been through very tumultuous and troubled times. So this is just another chapter in the history of what is the United States of America. There is always hope. There is always opportunities. There's always the ability to make change because this is a very dynamic country. So absolutely, with the right leadership, with the right people in place, with the right spirit, which is the American spirit, the revolutionary spirit, the spirit of Americans, independent, free-thinking Americans. Absolutely, we need to rally around that. So no, I reject those notions. I have hope. I have hope for improvement and hope for change. Now, we know there's intimidation. These investigations and prosecutions have been used to intimidate Americans. And arguably, there has been punishment. But also, when we do what we do, we need to make sure that we are thoughtful in our application of our protest and the actions that we take. And not let, because January 6th, you may realize, that was co-opted by some three-letter agencies. And they led...
Of course it was.
Many of the protesters by the nose into doing things and taking actions and going places that they didn't need to be in. So prudence kind of got lost and co-opted. We've got to be smarter than that when we do what we do. And that takes leadership, and not get co-opted and guided into, you know, some ambushes into some places that arguably will empower the government to exploit the situation. Because January 6th could have turned out very differently if nobody would have entered those buildings. If they just would have stayed outside those buildings and continued their protest for as long as possible, perhaps days, because we know that BLM, they were burning things in the street and throwing bricks. And in the same Capitol area, they were doing a lot of horrible things a year or so earlier. So we just have to realize what we're up against and be smarter about how things are organized and how we're promulgating the protests and the things we need to do. Now, with respect to, you know, getting the election stolen, we absolutely, and I'm going to say this to everybody, Colorado, get out and vote. Get out and participate in the process. If you give up and roll over, you're failing yourself. You're failing your fellow patriots. You've got to participate in the process. When you have a 75% turnout in 2022 amongst Republicans and 25% of you stay home and drink beer, watch TV or do whatever and don't get out and vote, you know, that doesn't help our cause any. You've got to do everything. And we have to have more people that are watching elections, that are observing elections. If there's improprieties in elections, we have to exploit that. So let's get out and watch and look and videotape and participate as election watchers and polling personnel and get involved so we can. And if things are going wrong, let's highlight that. Let's videotape that. Let's blow that up and get that out in the public square so everybody can see these atrocities and show America the smoking gun. And
okay,
that's how we do that.
I completely agree with you, 100%. However, I'm going to throw one caveat in here, and I want your take on it. So if Dominion and Smartmatic and all these machines are being used, and there's some things that might be happening outside of the purview of the American people, how do you combat that? And I understand that numbers are going to speak. So if 100% of registered Republicans in the state of Colorado come out and vote, that, you know, it's going to be hard to overcome that if through cheating. However, they're still going to try to cheat, and we know that. I know that. I don't know if you know that, but I believe that there is a system in place that is going to allow for massive amounts of cheating. And when you say, you know, poll watchers and all the people that are, you have to get involved, you have to be an election judge, or you have to do whatever it is that you have to do. And when you come out and you vote and you bring your friends and everybody votes and the whole thing, how do you, I guess, rectify that through their cheating mechanism that they have? How do we overcome that?
So that's a very good question. And we have many, many very smart people in the IT world. And we need to get a commission, an election integrity commission put together here in the state of Colorado from all these people. You know, and I don't want to pick on Dave Williams too much. He's such an easy target. But maybe the state party, the state GOP, ought to be saying, hey, and with, you know, Ron Hanks, my buddy Ron, in our election integrity commission, maybe they ought to be putting together plans to actually look at and have oversight over election integrity, actually using our tools to gain access to and observe data within the clerks and recorder system, data that is received and then data that is transmitted, and make sure that there isn't the manipulation of data in the counties, in the clerk and recorders, and within the machines, or the data that's reported to the Secretary of State, and get a commission that uses our IT systems to actually see, verify, watch, and have access to and demand access to the election information. And even if you have to file a court order to demand that is released in its input form and its output form. So we can stop the corruption of the data, because
that is the
nexus of the problem. But has anybody stepped up to put that together within the state of Colorado? And it's time. If we're going to do it, it's April right now. We have an election coming up. It's time to start working on that. And that's the effort and movement we need to move forward on.
Richard, can you stay on the line with us for another few minutes or something when we come back from break?
Sure. I'll do that.
Okay, perfect. We'll be right back.
Franktown Firearms is well-stocked and ready for you right now. Franktown Firearms is a family-friendly shooting range and gun store, and they're constantly bringing in new inventory of all the ammunition, firearms, and parts that you're looking for. Come down to buy or just to shoot on their spacious, well-ventilated 10-lane, 30-yard range with staff who will help you become the most proficient shooter you can be. You'll have a blast with their multi-level training courses that also include tactical shooting while walking, moving, and shooting from cover. This isn't your average range, and it's not your average inventory. If Franktown doesn't have it, chances are they can find it for you. And for a limited time, KLZ listeners enjoy an exclusive offer. Tell them you heard this spot on KLZ, and they'll give you a free gun rental, Class 3 weapons not included, when you rent a lane. So stop in and let them know KLZ sent you. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And we are back. Richard Holtorf is on the line with us. He is running to represent Colorado, United States House of Representatives. He's fighting like heck. I'm not going to swear. But he's fighting for the people of Colorado, and it is an uphill battle, and he's fired up. And I'm so happy to have him on the line today. So, Richard, let's talk. I know we were talking, and we could go on and on about elections and election security and election integrity, because it is a big deal. And there are many, many people, and some close friends included in that, that are just like, what is the freaking point? What is the point of voting? If they're going to cheat, I'm not even going to, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm going to get in my bunker and I'm going to hunker down with my, you know, 2 years worth of food, and I'm just going to let it play out, because this is obviously, you know, not going to work. So to those people, what would you say?
Well, the first thing I would say, that the ostrich mentality is a failed and flawed mentality. If you want to be a patriot, if you want to stand up for our country, you need to be involved in the activities within our country. Isolationism served us very poorly in World War I and led to World War II. Just like when we have an isolationist mentality in foreign policy, it usually leads to very bad world wars that eventually the United States has to get involved in. And ultimately, in the last great war, World War II, we had to actually, we had to settle it. So I am very much against that. What I would tell people to do is get out, get involved, try to make a difference. I kind of look at it like this. When I played football in high school and other sports, sometimes you had some refs that were for the home, the BS call, no cussing on the radio. And so how do you win that game?
At least it was you and not me.
How do you win that game? You win that game with so many points on the scoreboard that even the cheaters can't win.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean you take your marbles and go home. That means you play even harder. That means you put more points on the board because you're playing so hard and running up the score that even the cheaters can't win. And you know what?
Wonderful analogy.
That's what happened in 2016. Because Hillary Clinton thought it was done. She was going to have her coronation. She rented a million-dollar mall, for crying out loud, to have her big party. But the American people overwhelmingly said no. And even the cheating some bucks didn't have enough cheating votes to put her in office. So change your mindset, Colorado. Change your mindset, Patriots. Get involved at every level. I would argue if a semi-truck is coming in with a box of ballots from, oh, let's say New Jersey, like happened in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, let's have Patriots say, oh, no, you're not unloading those ballots. They're not even from this state. So I guess you're going to park that truck and just sit here for a little while until we get somebody here that can explain why you have out-of-state ballots that you're trying to process at 2 in the morning through your machines.
That's the kind of activity
that I say we should do. And I'm not advocating, vigilante justice, but I'm advocating getting involved, intercepting, stopping these heinous deeds, recording, and really getting in the middle of and stopping the nefarious activity at every level we can.
Sure. We have to get in the mud. We have to get in the mud a little bit, or this is not going to work. This whole democratic, this republic that we are trying desperately to keep right now is not going to last if we do not get into the mud. I'm not saying to cheat. I'm saying just get in the mud and play defense with these cretins that are trying to steal everything from us. So I'm going to switch topics just a little bit here, Richard, and let's talk about these gun bills. And I have some questions, primarily about the quote-unquote assault weapons bill. So could you tell the people a little bit about what this bill, kind of how it's structured and what it's going to entail in terms of everyday people and the types of firearms that, average Coloradans own right now?
Well, this particular bill says that upon signature by the governor, that the assault-style weapons will no longer be available for purchase or trade or exchange.
Inheritance or transfer.
No, they can. They can be passed down through the inheritance process. If you have the firearms, there'll be a grandfather provision, as I understand, where you can keep those firearms. But you won't be able to purchase new firearms of this type. It's really going to terribly affect the gun dealers and arguably the most popular type of firearm in the country and in the state is a military-style firearm, semi-automatic. But there's other things that are going on that your listeners need to know about. There's also a bill that says they want, it's Bill 1308, House Bill 24-1308, firearm liability insurance requirements. So now you're going to have insurance in case of accidental discharge or incidental discharge or any discharge. And that insurance is going to be required. There's going to be a new form of insurance managed by the Department of Regulatory Affairs. So what this is a backdoor way to register firearms for anybody that's going to purchase these firearms in the future. Because the state government's going to say, well, we need to know everybody that's got insurance, just like your vehicle. Do you have liability insurance on your car when you get a ticket? And there's a registry that they can verify that. That's another element to this. The other thing that's really troubling is House Bill 1353, Firearms Dealer Requirements and Permitting. So now they have a bill that says we have FFLs. Now we're going to have a state agency that's going to permit every firearm dealer in the state, and it's going to be state control. Why is the state doing all this? Because they're boxing everything in with respect to firearms. They're going to cover all the bases. So they can have full and complete control of firearms transfers, transactions, insurance, trade, sale. And ultimately, at the end of the day, they really want to know who all has firearms. They've also got bills for safe storage. And there's other bills, too. There's so many gun bills this session, it's just unbelievable. Not all of them.
Yeah, the excise tax.
The 10% tax is going to be a ballot initiative. 11% tax is going to be a ballot initiative that the voters of Colorado can vote on, and they can reject that. But this is just to get more money from the citizens and get that off the backs of the firearm industry. And that's for buying, selling any firearm, ammunition, and I believe accessories. They'll have this additional tax on there. you know, and taxing spend Democrats, you know, the grabbing hand's going to grab all they can, and they want the money to promote more of these programs and expand the state agency that's going to be permitting all these dealers. Truly, they're trying to do a full circle around the current system that we have in Colorado and completely control and overwhelm all firearms trade transactions in this state. And it's very troubling.
It's extraordinarily troubling, especially when you're in the industry. And, you know, I use my class time at the very beginning to talk to people about these bills and about how they're going to be directly affected. And one of the things that always comes up to me, and it's still a question that I have regarding the assault weapons bill. And I, like I said, I hate even using that term. Assault is an action. It's not a feature of a firearm is assault. But the ability to accept a detachable magazine and one or more of these features, of which are like a muzzle brake and a threaded barrel. And so those will make your firearm illegal. And one thing that has come up in my realm that I want to ask you about, and if you have read it in detail enough to answer this question, I don't know. But if a gun, let's say a Glock 19, very, very common handgun among concealed carriers and home defenders and whatever, there's a rail on the bottom underneath the barrel between the front of the trigger guard and the barrel, okay, where the muzzle is. There's a rail system there that's designed to accept a flashlight or some other a laser or whatever kind of accessory. Those will also be illegal. Is that true?
You know, I'm not going to be able to. That's a very technical question. I don't think I'm qualified to specify and specifically answer that, ma'am. I really apologize, but that's
No, that's okay. It's something that's very gray. Yeah, it's very gray.
But you know, and here's what I tell people. I say in Colorado, if you want, and I won't use that word assault, and I won't use weapon. I use military grade or military style firearm. Okay. I reject the actual title and the language.
Assault,
that's just my position. Yeah, I get it.
It's a semi-automatic sporting rifle.
Yeah, and we use them out on the ranch. We use them to kill coyotes to protect our baby calves. It's calving season, and we're shooting a bunch of coyotes out there to protect
our baby calves. Also, Richard, I reject the term military style. I guess style being the operative term there, because a military firearm is going to have a full auto feature, and these don't. So
well,
that's what really irritates me.
Not in every case. I mean, they have semi-auto, and then they have a three-round burst feature, and there's different settings. But I don't even know if it matters, and it's fine to reject that. I think the bottom line is there is a significant move for the supermajority Democrats in the state of Colorado to have complete control over trade transfer. Taxation, registration, insurance, reporting of all these specific classes of firearms that we're talking about. And Colorado, if you want one, I'd say go get one now. There will be a safety clause on the bill, which we finish session this month, or May rather, and within 30 days the governor's going to sign all these bills. Now, some of these bills come into play in 2025. We'll have to actually look at the bills and determine what those deadlines are. But I would say it's a good time to, if you want one of these firearms, to get one purchased and get in your grandfather position through the FFL, so you don't have to mess with this monkey business. And just have them. I own five of them, and they're not taking them from me. I'm not going to further report them. I probably won't insure them. I'll reject a lot of these, what I call backdoor registration or whatever you want to call it, because I'm not going to allow my Second Amendment rights to be infringed. And those are choices that I make. And we all need to make those choices. But you absolutely need to protect yourself. And you have the right under the Second Amendment to own those firearms. And that right is to be uninfringed. There's no right for state government. And these things will be legally challenged. Colorado Shooting Sports and Rocky Mountain Gun Owners are putting challenges together. And they will go through the court system. I'm not sure where they'll end up, and it'll take years for those things to be adjudicated.
Yeah,
but Colorado is at the tip of the spear on this stuff. It's absolutely radical, far-reaching, and nobody's ever seen anything like this in any state in the union.
Yeah, it's really mind-boggling, actually, what Colorado has turned into with regard to guns, especially. You know, me being a firearms instructor, when I took my NRA, the basic instructor training course, you know, back in 2013, I was instructed never to use the word weapon when I'm talking about firearms, guns, pistol, handgun. You use everything other than the term weapon, because weapon implies an offensive, you know, it's got an offensive connotation, whereas, you know, just firearm or handgun or pistol is just an object, and that's what they are. They're tools and nothing more. And there's the Colorado legislature, and I think I told you about this before when we were on the air the last time that you were on with us, how when they were passing the magazine capacity limit to 15 rounds, how the chamber was full, absolutely stuffed, standing room only, and then some, with people in opposition to that bill, and they didn't care. They don't care, and that's the whole thing. That's why it frustrates me so badly when people say, contact your representative, contact your, you know, your senator or your representative, and tell them how you feel about this stuff. They don't care. They sit there on their phones and snicker at you.
Yeah, the ideologues do not care, and many times the conferences have met, the committees have met, and they've already pre-counted their votes, and they have their positions, and I do understand that, and that is a problem with the system. But you still need to be there. You still need your voices need to be heard, and you can't stay at home, in other words. Now, what I will tell you, and this is something that I really believe in, and this is part of my platform for CD4. We need to tie federal funding to federal law compliance, including our Second Amendment rights, and this can be done at the U.S. congressional level. And all these states that want to violate federal law, you can say in so many different categories of law. Let's use a sanctuary state, for example, that wants to not follow federal immigration law. Or let's use a state that wants to ignore Second Amendment rights. We can say in Congress that if you don't follow federal law, you will not get federal funding in these different categories or areas. Or maybe there'll be a stair-step reduction based on, objective analysis of compliance. Or there may be, hey, you're not going to get any federal money. If you want to watch a state come to their knees and change their attitude, just withhold those federal dollars that they so desperately need. Every state
Absolutely.
Is at the trough begging to pull down those federal dollars for so many programs. And arguably here in Colorado, we waste millions of dollars of federal money on every program and every grant program you can dream up. That's something that I think we need to do. We need to say, you know what? If you don't want to follow the federal law, you just guess you don't need federal funding. And you want to change these attitudes of these blue states, boy, they would change. Their heads would turn so fast and their attitudes would change so fast, it would surprise you.
And what that takes then in turn, you know, piggybacking on what you just said, is that we have to have solid, conservative, America first, patriotic representation in Washington. And if we don't have that, then none of that matters.
And I'm gonna add on to that. This is so important. If you think you like the direction of the country, just vote for good old boy, good old girl, establishment type, go along to get along, same old candidates. Because the fix will be in. The John Boehners and these others out there, the Kevin McCarthys and these others out there,
and the Mike Johnson
cutting deals and kissing the ring and all that. Yep. You know, the fix will be in. And you will get no change. What I would say, ma'am, is you need radical anti-establishment candidates that are going to change everything about the system and reject everything that's wrong with the system and say, no, this is about people over policy and politics. This is not insider baseball. We are not going to do business as usual with the, Chardonnay Cadillac class. It doesn't matter what letter you have behind your name, the rich elitists that are playing puppet masters. We're done. We need to be done with that, Colorado. You need to think about that in Congressional District 4, because I'll tell you right now, the cards are already getting stacked, and it's not looking good.
Yeah, and there's an approach that says that, you know, the bottom up approach is where it starts. Like, you have to start at the county level. You have to, you know, get involved with your county and your town council and all that stuff. But I will assert that it's that, because that's very important, obviously, the bottom up approach, but we also have to have a top down approach. And what you had said about, you know, withholding federal funds from any state who decides to not comply with federal law or whatever, you know, with a cretin like Joe Biden, the meat puppet that's in there right now. And if he's talking about he wants to ban everything and make solar, he wants to put solar in low-income housing now, and he's got all this wacky, you know, climate change, climate alarmist crap going on. So he wants to make this broad federal, and of course guns are part of that as well. He would love to have a federal ban on semi-automatic sporting rifles and everything in between. So we need both. We need to have leadership like you in the House of Representatives fighting for our state, and then we have to have a president who will support that that kind of legislation, and then we have to have this bottom up approach with getting involved with your elections and getting involved with town council and, you know, your county commissioner meetings and all that kind of stuff. What say you?
We need it all. We need all of the above. We need all of the above at every level: local, municipal, school, county, state, national. And we also, arguably, and I have and know people that do, participate in our local militias. Yes, I said it, because those are people that will protect and defend their local communities. So we need all of the above. And we need principled conservatives, not radicals. We need constitutional conservatives that will defend our country and make sure that the radicals, the radical left, the Marxist socialists, those that want to control the thought police, the speech police, we have it going on. We need all of that.
So, and what you just said, that's so wonderful that you were talking about a militia, because, you know, everybody now thinks militia is a bad word. And, you know, the government, the censorship mafia that's out preventing people from talking to one another and censoring and flagging words, keywords, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we're also encountering. So what would you say, you know, we got a few minutes left here. What would you say about that last point that I brought up about the censorship and how we combat the censorship and being able to talk to one another about, you know, you can't meet up, you can't do anything, or, you know, on Facebook or even X, I think is still not, you know, it's not great. Instagram, that kind of stuff, and people meeting up and talking about this kind of stuff, you know, the tavern stuff that used to happen back in the day.
Well, I would tell you that we've already learned, and if you know anything, if you watch the movie Snowden, you know that Big Brother is watching everything and listening to everything and queuing and
including this.
What I'm talking about are principled American patriots that really understand the Constitution. I'm not talking about radical rabble-rousers. I'm not talking about radical insurrectionists. I'm not talking about overthrowing anything. I'm talking about preserving our country and preserving our constitutional rights and preserving our communities. And those conversations best happen in person, in private places where people can talk. And that's how it was in the beginning and how it should be. It's a responsible conversation, and it's actually an open conversation. If you respect the Constitution, if you'll support the Constitution and our individual liberties and rights, then you're on my team. If you reject it, if you want a dictatorship, if you want a different form of government, a Marxist, socialist type of government, if you want the state to control everything, then I reject that, and every citizen should reject that. It's not okay. So
do you
that's the way
agreed.
I have to speak up and speak out and say, no, we're not going to do this.
Do you think that we have suffered a long train of abuses and usurpations?
Oh, yeah, decades, of course, decades and decades. And there are some provisions for it that have passed through Congress, but there's also a time to expand and contract that. But always go back to the foundation and the fundamentals of what this country was built on. As long as you frame everything in that frame of reference, that is your best place. That is the best place for us with respect to policy. That's the best place with respect to our states and our country. And we always have to walk that back to that place. If we're going somewhere else and we go too far, then we've gone too far, and we need to go back to that framework.
Back to the foundations. Richard, I so appreciate you being with us today on Shooting the Breeze, and I hope that you'll come back again. We'll have you on again very, very soon. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Shooting the Breeze, brought to you by the team at Franktown Firearms. Mention that you heard Shooting the Breeze on KLZ when you purchase a gun, and Franktown Firearms will waive your background fee. Veterans, first responders, and law enforcement receive a Patriot discount on everything in the store. Get in touch with Franktown Firearms now at klzradio.com/guns. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.